All right. Good morning. Go ahead and grab a seat. My name is Justin. I'm one of the pastors here and excited to be able to wrap up 2019 for us here. And we're going to end in a passage that we began this year with. And it's a passage that I love and a passage that's very reflective in my life. And I think it's helpful as we kind of reflect back on 2019, looking at the past year. So we're going to be in Ephesians this morning and kind of just covering Ephesians 1, 2, and walking through that. If you've been with us any length of time, you know this is a passage that's near and dear to my heart. As a person who's a visionary, as Greg spoke about, I'm the guy who's always like, best year of our life coming. So I'm always looking forward. So I force myself and I force us as a church to constantly look back. Because I know I need it. So if you don't need it, then you're in a better place than me this morning. But I think it'll be beneficial as we look back. We've been in this series talking about the good news that we have a gift-giving God that come and he is bringing good gifts to us. John 3:16, a passage that you're very familiar with, says that he so loved the world that he gave. And it's in his very nature that he would be a very giving, loving father. And he's given us gifts. And we focused on a few of those gifts in the past few weeks. We've focused on the fact that he's come to give us rest. He's come to give us joy. He's come to give us healing. And this morning, we just want to focus on this gift of salvation, the gift that he has come to bring. And I want us to remember where we've been and remember what God has done in our life. And it allows us, when we do look back, when we reflect on the good gift of salvation, that he has saved us, that he has rescued us, that he has pulled us out from the pit. And even knowing that there may be some in the room this morning have not experienced the gift of salvation, I want to read this passage. And this may not be an opportunity for you maybe to look back, but in hopes of, I wish God would do that in my life. I wish he would save me. So we're looking at this idea that he has come to give us this gift. And kind of the implications, and I think that one of the things that's illustrated really well in the book of Ephesians here is that because he has done these things, because he has done all these good works, because he has blessed us in so many different ways, we are to be a blessing to others. Probably a few days ago, we sat down at dinner with some family of ours, and my wife was digging through her purse, and we were at the table, and she opens an envelope, and in that envelope is an absurd amount of money. And she's like, where in the world did this come from? And I'm like, what is that? And she hands it to me, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, what in the world? Where did this come from? So there's a letter attached to it, and we begin to read this letter, and this letter is from some friends here at our church. And I began to read about just the fact that they've been blessed this year financially. And in that blessing, they want to steward those resources well. And so in their stewardship, they want to give it to people who can steward it for them. And so we were blessed. They thought us to be trustworthy. And so they gave us this amount of money to be stewards of. And in the same way, we have been given gifts by God the Father, who's a good father, a gift-giving father. And he's given us these good gifts that we would steward them and we would bless others. And so this was just an example and a reminder to us this week of just going, man, we have been given so much. And I think it's easy for us to focus on what we do not have. It's easy for us to focus on what we lack. But if we know in Psalm 23, it says, we shall not want. He has provided and he has given us everything that we need. And so this text, when we read this, I just want us to remind ourselves of the gifts that we've received and that we would be generous. And that's what I love about our church. Our church is a very generous church. In no way am I this morning wanting to hammer us or belabor the fact that, like, hey, man, this is a giving. We need to give more. It's more of just a sense. I want us to look back and reflect, but realize that there is a purpose of why we've been given all these good gifts, is that we would be a blessing to others. One of the things that we talk about, especially at the end of the year, we've been talking about the past few weeks, is kind of year-end giving. And when I first entered into the Soma community of churches, there was a document that they shared with me called Gospel Giving. And it really just opened my eyes to the fact, and we can look at this in terms of money, but we can also look at this in terms of resources and talents and things that God has given us. But I want to read this to us because it works out of the implications. We've been given much, and so we are to steward that. It says this: the gospel is the good news that God has done and is doing the work to rescue and renew creation. Jesus walked fully submitted to the Father in everything for us so that we who do not might have his perfect submission and righteousness in exchange for our rebellion and sin. Here we see this gift exchange. It's amazing. That he has given us this righteousness in exchange for our rebellion and sin. Jesus took the wrath of God against our sin on himself when he went to the cross and gave us everything so that we might be forgiven and redeemed. When he rose again from the dead, he not only proved that he conquered sin and death, but he also lives in order to take possession of what is rightly his bride, the church. And so the scriptures are very clear. 1 Corinthians 6, we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. And this could seem like bad news if we don't really know what God is like, right? But we've been bought by a good God. To be owned by a sinful or evil master is a horrible deal. But to belong to Jesus means we're free to no longer to be a slave to anyone or anything that doesn't give life abundantly. We are all slaves to Jesus or another master. All of us. In the case of money, many of us live as if we're in still bondage to it. We hoard it. We become consumed with it. We fear losing it. We become anxious that we'll not make enough. And all along, instead of being free to use money for his purposes, we become mastered by it and enslaved by it. Therefore, we don't walk in line with the gospel in this area of money and giving. But when we fully believe and embrace the gospel that reminds us that God is for us, and that God will provide us with everything we need for life and godliness, we approach money and giving very differently. When we realize that we really don't own anything because everything we have is his, but then again, we really own everything because all that he is now ours in Jesus, we can rest in the awareness that we are the wealthiest people on the planet. Then, like Jesus, for our sakes, he became poor so that in his poverty, we could become rich. And we also, who are rich, become willing to empty ourselves so that others can be taken care of. And that's what I want to paint a picture in this, is going, we've been given all of this. Jesus has done this work in us. Jesus has given us the gift of salvation. Jesus has blessed us with all these immeasurable riches, not so that we could hoard and not so that we could just say, man, thank you for giving me rest. Although that's a great gift in itself. Thank you for giving me joy. Thank you for giving me peace. Thank you for bringing physical and spiritual healing. But that we would then go in part what God has done in us, he wants to do through us. And so that we would use the blessings and the things that God has given us to go and bless others. And that's really where I want to take us this morning, is just to remind us that we've been given much and to kind of recap in summary the last few weeks, we've been given these things. Why? So that this next year we can go and be a blessing to others. And so some great questions, and I want to think about these questions in light of all that God has given us. take out of your mind just money. I want you to think about the fact that God has given you joy, the fact that God has given you rest, the fact that God has given you healing. I want you to think in giving of those things. Listen to this. Does my giving demonstrate that I believe God is not only trustworthy to take care of me, but generous in how he does it? Do we believe that? Because I think a lot of us have the intellectual knowledge to say, yes, I know God to be a good God. He's a gift-giving God, and he blesses us with these things. But we live as if we don't believe the gospel because we hoard things or we're protective of things. So do we give begrudgingly or with great joy? Is giving a privilege or an obligation? So God has given us these things to share. Another question, does my giving demonstrate that I believe the gospel? Do I believe that what I have is mine or all that I have been given belongs to God? The gospel tells us that we are fully secure in God's hands and most loved and accepted that we could ever be. And that frees us up to go and love unlike anyone else. And so that's where I want to jump into Ephesians and just remind you of what you have and to remind you of what you've been given. Because in Ephesians 1, what I love about this is Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 is all this things that you've been blessed with, all of these things that you've been given. And then he turns the corner in Ephesians chapter 4 and it says, so therefore, walk in this way. So he never tells us just to go and walk in this way. He always tells us because you are loved, because you are favored, because you have been given immeasurable riches, go and walk in this way. And so it's the gospel. It's understanding these things. It's knowing Christ and dwelling with Christ deeply that allows us to live in that. Charles Spurgeon says this in kind of his beginning of the year sermon, and I think it's very poignant for us this morning. It says, I wish, my brothers and sisters, that during this year, you may live nearer to Christ than you've ever done before. That's our hope. That's our prayer this morning. And that's what I'm hopefully showing you is this good Father wants to be near to us this morning. And so that you may live nearer to Christ than you've ever done before. Depend upon it. It is when we think much of Christ that we think little of ourselves, little of our troubles, and little of the doubts and fears that surround us. Begin from this day, and may God help you. Never let a single day pass over your head without a visit to the Garden of Gethsemane and the cross on Calvary. And so we want to think much of Christ. We want to remember the blessings of Christ this morning. So Ephesians chapter 1, I got a Bible highlighted here, and I just want to hit these as we walk through Ephesians 1, 3, verse 3, all the way down to 15. It says, blessed be the God, our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ. What has he done? Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Do you know this morning that in Christ you have every spiritual blessing? Verse 4, even as he chose us in him, he chose you. He's not stuck with you. He chose you. I've shared the story before where when we first started planting Ecclesia that we were invited to be a part of this residency, and they brought seven guys and they invested in these seven guys for a year, paid them a salary, flew them all these different places and basically just poured into us. And the whole time I'm like, why in the world would I get chosen for this? They must not really know me. I must have fooled them. Right? And maybe we feel like we've pulled one over on God. Why in the world would he choose us? Why in the world would he choose us to be in relationship, to be brought into his family? And the truth is we didn't pull one over on him. He knows you. He knows everything about you and he loves you and he invited you into relationship. He invited you into relationship, verse 4, so that you would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption, to bring you into a family, that you are now sons and daughters of the King. We read down in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. We are forgiven. When God looks upon us, he no longer sees us in our sins, but sees the perfect blood of his son, Jesus, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will. We talked about that last week, the fact that he has made himself known, that he's not hidden, that he has made himself known to us, that he wants us to know him. Verse 11, in him we have obtained an inheritance. What good news. Verse 12, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be the praise to his glory. And so we see in chapter 1 here, all of these great things. And I would encourage you to go back and underline those things and remember those things and to reflect on those things of how he has done that in you. Because we forget it. We forget that we've been given all of those things and we live as if we lack rather than living as if we've been given every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That verse should rattle us. That verse should shake us to our core. That verse should be like, what else could I want? He's given me everything. He's given me himself. And God is the greatest gift. And then he goes on and Paul writes here in verse 15 through like 23, he's talking about this prayer. This is his prayer over the church in Ephesus. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, having called you, what are the riches of his inglorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And I love this passage. I love this prayer. And that's my hope, is that he would give us the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and knowledge of him. We've really kind of adjusted a little bit some of our mission statement, in the sense of like, we've talked about saturating the valley. And I feel like in many ways over the past few years, we've talked about, it's been a very outward focus. And I think we as a church in many ways have become a very missional people. And I'm super excited about that. But I want you to recognize that again, we want to focus on what God is doing in us so that he can do through us. We can so be focused on doing the work through us that we don't realize what God is doing in us. And so we've talked about this knowledge. We want people, and our prayer for folks here at Ecclesia is that we would know Jesus deeply. And that's our hope and our prayer this next year, that we would know him. And that as we come to know him, that we would love him. And as we love him, that we would begin to walk in his ways. And that's our heart and that's our prayer, that as we move out and as we realize that he is revealing himself, that he has given us wisdom and insight to know him, that we would love him and walk in his ways. And that in doing so, that we would help others know him and love him and walk in his ways. And that's our prayer. And that's really, as we look through Ephesians, that's where we are being taken through this passage, is that you've been given these things. You've been given these blessings. He has saved us. He has rescued us. He has changed us. And he has given us a purpose so that we would go and walk and help others experience knowing God, loving God, and walking with God. And so that's where we're going to land in really coming into Ephesians chapter 2 here, is to remember this good news of what he's done. And you're like, man, Justin, I know we've covered this. Here's the deal. We can't get over this. We can never get over this. And we focus this a lot. If you're here and you're with us, you're like, man, we talk about the gospel a lot. And it's like, yeah, that's our only message. That really is our only message. That is our only hope, is focusing on the fact that God sent Jesus into our world to break into our world, to fix our greatest problem. And our greatest problem is us. It's sin. And so a solution has to come from outside of us, and that's Jesus. Jesus comes in to fix our greatest problem. And that's the story of the gospel. And that's what we read about in Ephesians chapter 2. Read this passage with me and remember that before you met Christ, this is who you were. This is a reflection morning. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Paul doesn't sugarcoat it here. Paul isn't like, hey, you weren't that bad. And here's why. Because if you don't think you're that bad, then he's not quite a savior, right? Like when we just kind of minimize our sin, when we minimize the saving power of Jesus, then we end up minimizing Jesus. When we minimize the work that he has done, that he pulled us out of the depths, that is what moves us to a place of gratitude and realize that the cross is much bigger than I ever expected it to be. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. Dead. You couldn't do anything. In which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, whom we all once lived. We all did. Which means that there's not one of us in this room who was born into Christianity. There's not a single person in this room who just like came out of the womb and it's like, dude, I am God's gift to the world. I'm holy, right? That's none of us. We all once walked in darkness. We walked in disobedience. We lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath. Anybody have any children of wrath? I have some in my house. Yeah. See that hand? Yes. All right. We experience it. Garrett is a child of wrath, right? So we know this to be true. And it says, like the rest of mankind. And so we see that this is where all of us were at one point. And this is where even some of us may even find ourselves this morning. We hear this text and we go, man, I know that to be true. But maybe you realize that was you. And I think it's hard for me at times to remember that's where I was. Like, it's hard for me to remember back and be like, really, that's true about me? And it's helpful for me to read this text over and over and over again so that I remember that's where I was, so that I look back and go, man, look at what God has done. And so often, I work in the fitness industry as well, and what I find is that there are people who their changes in life are such small increments they don't see. And maybe for you, you look at your life and you go, man, I don't see. But you look 5 years ago and you're like, man, there's been all this growth. And we don't recognize these small steps that how God is sanctifying, how God is working in us, how God is changing us, how God is moving powerfully in our lives. And so it's helpful to look back and go, like, we have this marker of when we met Jesus, before we met Jesus, and we realize we were dead. We were children of wrath. We were walking in disobedience. It's helpful for us to remember that because I go, man, he has brought me so far. And in knowing that he's brought us so far, that gives us hope. That gives us hope for our kids. That gives us hope for our coworkers. That gives us hope for our neighbors to realize that the same work that God has done in us, he desires and wants to do in the lives of people all around us. And so it's this opportunity of remembering. And like I said earlier, when I begin to remember, it helps me not to minimize the efforts of our rescue. If we're kind of like, yeah, he didn't really save me from that much. I mean, I wasn't that bad. We end up not thinking of this rescue as like, this is miraculous. What he has done in changing our heart is miraculous. And so we have to ask ourselves, why don't we trust him? Like if he has done that, if he has done that miraculous work, after all he's done to save us from situations that are so much eternally more impossible, why would we not trust him with our lives? Why would we not trust him with our finances? Why would we not trust him with our gifts? Why would we not trust him with our time? He is trustworthy. We see in verse 4, this kind of transitional moment here, but God, he reaches into that dead life, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. Realize that it says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, even when we were in our sin, even when we were doing the very thing that God hated, he chose us, he saved us, he rescued us, and he gave us life. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm like, man, that is crazy. That's crazy. Anybody love watching movies over Christmas break? Like, I don't normally watch a ton of movies, but it's like we camp in front of the TV over Christmas break. And so I'm just like finding anything. Disney Plus has been awesome in our house. And anyways, I came across Free Solo. And a story of Alex Honnold climbing, like, without ropes, El Capitan in Yosemite. And I was, like, on the edge of my seat the whole time watching this. I mean, he attempted, like, 8 years he'd been working up to this, to climb 3,000 feet without a rope. If you haven't seen this, you got to see it. It's an impossible feat. Well, here's what I thought was fascinating about it. He had every single hand grab of this 4-hour climb memorized. Like, he's like, when I get to this point, it's like thumb grab. Like, I'm not holding onto anything with a thumb. Like, if I'm on the side of a mountain, I want a full grasp. He's like, thumb grab, little toe, like all this. I'm like, this is crazy. And watching this guy climb, and something that has been impossible. And they looked back in history of talking like, man, to actually climb, you know, without a rope, any of these things is just unfathomable. Like, it's never been thought of. And he goes and he attempts it. He actually wakes up one morning, goes, he's like halfway up and decides, no, I'm not going to do it today. Comes back down, suspense, like, it's crazy, right? And eventually he does it. And you're like, that's crazy. Now, what's going to happen? Someone else is going to do it, right? And then there's going to be something bigger. And that's what I find fascinating. When I look at these stories, I'm like, in the last year, the fastest marathon ever in the history of the world was ran. And it's like, how do we keep progressing? How in the world do we, somebody said steroids. No. How in the world do we keep doing this? And it's because someone shows us that it's possible. Someone shows us that this can actually happen. What was impossible can actually be done. And what I want to do is kind of like utilize that story and go, when we think about that, maybe that would motivate us, that we would look back and we go, what is impossible? Maybe what you think is impossible right now, that in your own life personally, of like what you want to see God do in your life this year, of what you want to see God do in your friend's life this year, what you want to see God do in your family's life this year, in your kid's life, your neighbor's, whoever, that maybe you're thinking right now, there's no way that can happen. Would you look back at the miracle of your own transformation, that there was a moment when God stepped in and took what was dead and made it alive, and go, if he can do that, there's nothing that's impossible. There's nothing that's out of reach for him. There's nothing that he cannot do. And I pray that that would encourage us. I pray that that would give us hope, and that would give us motivation all the more to do what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 talks about here. It says in 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. Aren't we glad it's not? It's not up to us. It is the gift of God. You've been given grace because God has gifted it to you. It's not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And then it goes on in verse 10, why? The big why. Because we are his workmanship. We are God's crafty work. We are God's poem. We are God's artwork. He has crafted us. He has fashioned us. He has made us in a way created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so we see in this passage that God has done this work in us, not because we were favorable. It says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. He did this work in us because he loved us. He chose us. He adopted us into a family, the good news of the gospel. And he did that so that it would produce good works, so that it would allow you to go and be, in the nature of our good Father, a gift-giving, good news bringer to all those who are around us. So in closing, I just want to remind us, in the past few weeks, we've talked about that in this idea of that we've been created for a purpose, that we've been given these good gifts, and Christ has done all of this in us so that we would be bearers of the good news and bearers of good gifts. Christ gave us rest so that we can lead others to rest. Christ has healed us so that we can bring healing to others. Christ has given us peace so that we can be ministers of reconciliation. Christ has given us joy so that we can go and be a light to the world. What Christ has done in you, he wants to do through you. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this morning, and thank you just for the reminder that of what you've done in us. And Lord, I just pray that we would not receive that lightly, that we would not look back at our rescue, that we would not look back at how you've reached in and changed us, the miracle of transformation. Lord, that wouldn't just be old news. That we would recognize that you have given us all these good things, that you have done what is impossible, so that we would go and be illustrators of your workmanship, to allow people to see that glorious work that you've done in our lives. So I pray that this would be the year, as Paul writes in Ephesians, that we would have all knowledge and wisdom of who Jesus is. That we would grow in our knowledge and understanding of Jesus. That we would grow in our love and our passion, and that our heart would just be in love with Jesus. And Lord, that you would allow us to walk in your ways this year. And so Lord, I just pray that you would do that. That you would do that in us. That even as we pause and we sing and we reflect this morning in our closing time here, that you would just begin to stir in us a love and a hope for this new year. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for taking on our sin, taking on our wrath, taking on our punishment, and being such a good gift-giving Father to us. Lord, we love you and we praise you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here this morning and you hear this good news, and you read this story, this text here in Ephesians 2, and going, and you were dead in your trespasses in which you once walked, following the course of the world, and you go, man, that's true of me. But what's not true of me is that I don't know this God to be one of rich of mercy and great love, and he has reached down and made us alive, and I want to be alive today. I would just encourage you, as we sing, as we respond this morning, Garrett and the worship team are going to play a few songs for us, and we're just going to have a time of reflection as we enter into this new year. If you're here this morning and that's not true, man, I want to be alive in Christ. Man, I would just encourage you to come to myself, My wife will be over here. Greg will be over here. We would love to pray for you. We'd love to encourage you and just invite you to know the great gift that God the Father has come to give. Amen? Amen. Let's.